innercitygeeks.net.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Inner City Geeks podcast. It's Steve here, and joining me today for episode 254 is Renee.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Same old shit, you know. Oh, another week. It's been 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
So how you been, man? How's things going?
Pretty good. That's right. We didn't record last week. I've just been playing a lot of Mass Effect. I got the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which is the remake of all three. And it's really good. Like, I beat part one last week. I'm working my way through number two this week. And it's a really good game. A lot of fun. I remember the first one, but I don't remember the second one at all, even though I know, like, I 100%ed it on the Xbox, but I don't remember any of it, so it's actually really good. I mean, those games are almost, is it more than 10 years? The first one's been 10 years, but the second one's, like, 2012 or 13, but yeah, it's really, really good. If you never played them before, definitely worth picking up. It's still full price, $60. But that's definitely a bargain for what you get. You get
all three.
All three games and all the DLC except for one that was like they lost the code for it, so they couldn't reproduce it. So everything except for that one piece of DLC is not there, but everything else is included in the game. All of the armor pieces in 2 and 3, all the story stuff, extra story stuff in 1, 2, and 3, and definitely worth picking up. I didn't talk about Midway, right? Or did I?
No.
Okay. One of the big movies I saw right around the same time, I guess, was a really cool historical movie called Midway. And it came out in 2019. Yeah, because I just started working at the hotel. I remember all the old people were talking about it. So it's it came out Thanksgiving 19. It's a great movie. It's kind of, it's supposed to be Midway, but like they kind of like start with Pearl Harbor and then they kind of make it up to Midway. The Battle of Midway was this really big like naval battle, and in World War II on the Pacific Theater, which is like Japanese and the Allies, and it was the turning point battle in World War II in the Pacific, because until that battle, like the U.S. is losing pretty much every major thing, and like they finally got the chance to catch the Japanese by surprise. And it's kind of like our Pearl Harbor to them. And yeah, it ended up like really, really kind of like redrawing the map on what was going on at that point in the war. And the movie's really good. Like, I haven't seen, well, two things about it. One, it's done by the people behind the, Independence Day. And, they worked with, what's his name? Dickhead. Transformers Dickhead. Michael Bay on, Pearl Harbor, which is completely not historically accurate. Like, I think the event itself is historically accurate, but like the rest, I think the only thing, the Cuba Gooding Jr. shit is like literally the only thing that happened for real, the way they said it happened in that movie. Everything else is bullshit. But this movie, like, I was like pleasantly surprised and shocked, because like they really got it right. Like, they, everything from the way the battle started to the way certain people died in it. And when you watch this movie, like, if you do end up watching it, because I said it was good and I recommended it, please let me know what you thought. It's kind of long, but like it's such a good movie that you don't realize it. Really great performances by a bunch of like younger actors that you've seen in a bunch of other shit, and Woody Harrelson's in it, and a bunch of other like people that we recognize and seen in other shit. It's really good. But I was really surprised, because it's like from the people who made some really, really bad action movies. And this one was fucking really, really good. I saw one of the history buffs. I saw the history buff episode on it, which I guess was his latest one. History buff is this really cool thing on YouTube where the guy like he looks at the historical accuracy of a movie, and that's how he rates the movie, or that's how he reviews it. Like, the better it is, the more sort of accurate it was.
Right.
And he did a two-parter on this, and I was like, wow, like, this is, I'm gonna check it out, because I just, like, I love history, and that part of history is really important to me. And actually, I think it's a really big important part to everybody. Like, I think it's something that, like, at least my education, I didn't really find out about World War II on my own. Like, I kind of had to, like, find that shit on myself, by myself. And it's a really crazy, interesting time for the world, and it changed modern society. So, like, we're still dealing with what the aftermath of what happened during World War II today, 50, 60 years later. So yeah, it's on HBO. It's really fucking good. Like, if you want, you can, like, watch Midway, and then, like, watch the history buffs on YouTube, so they can explain how they'll give you the non-stoner explanation of, like, why it's going to be so good. It's really good. Definitely worth checking out.
It's always good not getting the non, you know, the non-stoner.
Yeah, because I was just rambling about everything. But yeah, definitely check it out. Midway on HBO Max. Mass Effect Trilogy. I cannot recommend the Mass Effect Trilogy enough. Even if you played it, there's a lot of stuff in there that's really, like, not. It looks fucking amazing. It plays great. Sounds great. And the changes that they made to everything is just fucking awesome. So definitely worth picking up. I think that was mostly it. I got another gun, but I still don't have it, so I can't really talk about it. And
you got it, but don't have it yet.
Yeah, like, the way we buy guns is, like, you have to, like, you can order them online, and, like, I order them, and you gotta, like, wait till the gun shop gets them, and a lot of times they don't fucking even check. So, like, I'm gonna wait till Monday, and then I'm gonna go over there and see if they got it yet.
Yeah.
It usually takes, like, a week for you to get your stuff, so. Yeah, I love this country, man. Like, you can be in your underwear ordering a gun, and then a week later, it's at your local gun shop. And our local gun shop is, like, 5 minutes away.
Yeah, so, exactly. Well, there's a couple over here. There's a couple.
Yeah, but, like, the really big one is, like, right down the street. So.
Yeah, literally.
What else? Oh, I got the Mandalorian helmet. I got the Wedge helmet, too. I didn't talk about that. I got the, last year, as a treat myself, this is how much weed I smoke. I pre-ordered this stupid thing a year ago, because that's when they announced it was coming out. And I pre-ordered it, and Hasbro, when you pre-order stuff from Hasbro Pulse, they don't charge you till it's shipped. So I totally forgot about it, so I saw a charge on my stuff for, like, 100-something. And I was like, what the fuck? And then, like, yeah, like, it was the Mandalorian helmet. It's really cool. It makes noises, like, pew-pew, and it has, like, a little light. Like, you know that light that he has on when he's repairing the ship? They have it on the side. It's removable. Nice. It looks really cool. The Wedge helmet I'm in love with. It's just I have no place to, like, display it. But the Wedge helmet is really cool, too. They're both... Well, no. The Mandalorian helmet's, like, $140. The Wedge helmet's, like, $100. I got it at a discount because I got it from Gamefly. GameStop? The store?
Yeah.
And I had points for them, so... I got it, like, super cheap.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's for my week. Video games and stuff.
Yeah. That's pretty dope. That's pretty awesome. As far as for me, I had the kids last week, so they didn't really get to go and do a lot of shit, of course. You know, got to handle the kids and stuff. But one thing that I did do with them was actually went up to Dade City for a the Swampside Villains 5-year anniversary cookout barbecue thing, and that was pretty fucking cool. It was pretty cool to go out there and spend time with of course the kids and also, you know, the Bearded Villains. And this was a huge event because this was our 5-year anniversary, but also, like, just being able to interact with, like, three other chapters that showed up there, so to support us basically, was pretty fucking cool. We had people from Orlando, from Tampa itself, and Jacksonville came down to just chill with us, of course, because it's a different time, you know. It's basically gotten to that time that, you know, things are opening up and people can pretty much do whatever the fuck they want now. And it was just, we had, like, good 70 people there with us. Everybody was chilling, eating.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, and it was all in the park. It was a dope-ass park, too. It was a really cool park. The only thing that I didn't like about it is the fact that, like, one of the roads that was going into it is pretty much like a dirt road. Which,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which was fucking weird because the other side of it, it was a regular side road.
Yeah, that's country.
Yeah. It did seem very country out there. Literally, like, one side of it looks normal, and then the other side is just straight.
Yeah, like, this part of Florida, like, we're a city, but, like, everything around us is, like, farmland.
Yeah.
And country.
Yeah, literally everything around
swamp. Here. So, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, once you leave anything with pavement, like, you're going to see a lot of, like, farms and stuff and swamp and stuff. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, and even over here where we are, like, the park that I usually go to for the trail, for, like, the hiking and stuff, it's literally, like, just, it's pretty much secluded from everything. And then once you're going through the park, you don't see anything else but, like, buck trees. There's no, like, there's just nothing but dirt road over there in the park area. That's right around a quarter from here.
This part of Florida, like, it's either Tampa or Orlando, or the big cities, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Just kind of drive around.
Yeah, pretty much. But it was cool. It was like about a 45-minute drive from here. And then we just had fun. It was pretty cool. It was at the park. It was like a river park or whatever, but the river was like 3 miles from where we were actually standing. Oh. So yeah.
One of those, yeah.
Yeah, so the kids were like, oh, let's go to the river. I was like, oh no, it's like 3 miles away. And then I got lost getting into the park and making me try to fucking drive around in the park to find the fucking place.
Yeah,
I'm like, no, I'm good. Yeah, no. I was like, no, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna do that. But it was cool that the kids actually got to interact with other kids that they've never really fucking known. But it was cool for them to actually get to meet other people, other kids that are pretty much their age or stuff like that. It was nice.
Yeah, I totally forgot about the whole, you know, coronavirus 2020 shit. Yeah. This year's like seems so long. I'm just like, wow, like that wasn't even that long ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. No, it totally makes sense, man. Those kids have been like not stuck, but you know, because we get them at least every month. But like,
yeah,
man, it's rough.
Yeah, it's definitely rough. And the fact that like technically their schooling is done for this year, so like the fact that they're pretty much literally stuck at home doing nothing is one of those things. It's like, yeah, needs to get out a little bit more. Need to do little things. It's the little things in life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was cool. It was cool to actually, you know, go and chill with the villains and then spend time with the kids too. Cause of course, you know, I love spending time with the children. A funny story. I'm going to say it. So I was driving them back home, and my son was like, I told him like before we went, because I was like, yeah, let's go get some food before we go. So that way, you know, you guys have some lunch and stuff like that, and you guys are pretty full. So that way you guys can wind up, you know, eating whatever later for dinner or whatever. And before we go, I was telling him, listen, let's go to the bathroom. Let's go, you know. Let's go take care of, you know, what you got to take care of before we go. And they were like, no, we're okay. I was like, all right, fine. You sure? Like, yeah, no, we're sure. We're good. So we're getting on the road. We start driving. And just before we wind up passing this water place, this water, what is it called? The water refinery or whatever the fuck it is.
Oh, the water plant.
Yeah, the water plant that's over there. It's literally like
the water restoration, whatever plant.
Yeah, that one. So we were when we were driving there, we were just passing it, and then my son was like, "I gotta go to the bathroom." I was like, "You gotta? I just told you. Why didn't you go before?" I was like, "I gotta go now." I was like, "What do you mean? You gotta go number one or number two?" He's like, "I gotta go number two." I was like,
you can't really talk. Okay, you gotta go that bad. You're really just like, poor kid.
Yeah. And I was like, let me find, you know, see if there's a rest stop or something for you. And I'm looking. I gave it like a good 2 minutes or whatever, and see if there's any signs that come up with, you know, oh yeah, there's gonna be a rest stop over here.
Yeah, no, there's nothing. There's nothing. Like, I think it's.
There's nothing like for one, miles.
Yeah, it's like this one spot for like maybe 50 miles. There's nothing. I mean nothing until we get to the spot where we usually meet.
Because there's no exits.
Yeah, there's like a rest stop, and then where we meet, which is like the next big like gas station. Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. So I was like, yo, dude, you're gonna have to poop on the road. And he was like, okay, fine, whatever. So I pull over, and he runs out of the car. Yeah, I'm like, here, take some fucking napkins. It's from, you know, the Burger King that we got. And he takes the napkins, and there's a tree over there. I was like, oh, listen, go, you know, sit behind the tree, so that way, you know, you could be all right.
I pull over on the side. You pull over on the side. He goes running out. He's like, and you tell him how to go.
Yeah, I told him where to go. You could go right there. You see the tree. Plant yourself behind the tree. You know, cop a squad there. You know, you're gonna be behind the tree, so it's gonna block everything. This mofo stands next to the tree, and he's like looking around like a deer in fucking headlights as he's shitting there. and I'm just like, dude, like, of course he can't hear me because he's pretty. He walked like a couple yards forward or whatever, but. We're just dying laughing. Me and my daughters are laughing in the fucking car, and he's just standing there, like kind of hunched over as he's shitting, and it's fucking hilarious, dude. It's the most hilarious thing ever. It was sad. You better not let him hear this
shit. Huh? You better not let him hear this shit.
He's not gonna listen to this. But he knows it was funny because we were all fucking laughing, and I told him like, listen, don't laugh. Don't laugh at him, especially when he comes back into the car. Don't laugh at him. But of course, you know, yeah. Children. So they laugh in his face, and he was like, it's not right. It's still fucked up. He didn't say fucked up, but you know. But it was pretty fucking funny. I thought it was fucking
funny. We've all been there, man.
Yeah. Yeah. At least he got it out of the system, and he didn't fucking shit himself in the car, which is a good thing. And that also gave him a good reason to go fucking take a shower later on.
Yeah, that's another thing about kids too. They need to fucking learn how to take a shower every day. That's funny, man. Like we've all been there, dude. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah. Honestly, like that's one thing that, like, that's never happened to me as far as like being on the road and having the shit while on the road. Because of course, like I've never really driven like that before. But
it's an art to it because like you gotta pick the right spot to take a shit too. One of the beauties of this country though is that like the last couple of times I've taken like really big road trips, I've not dealt with like a really, really gross or sketchy road stop, you know, like rest stop. Like I've always had the, you know, I have never had a really bad problem. Even driving Uber, like I always kinda like I would never eat anything like crazy big when I'm driving Uber unless I'm like going home or whatever. Sure. But like it's hard when you drive Uber, man, because you gotta find places to take a shit. Like that's why like gym memberships are awesome. Mm-hmm. If you have a gym membership, like Planet Fitness is like there everywhere. I love Wawa, like that's like the best fucking gas station to take a shit. Yeah. It's always clean.
Really is.
But yeah, man, like we've all been there, dude. Sucks.
Yeah, it fucking sucked. It was hilarious,
but like, I feel for him.
it was super funny. Like I can't live it up. It was good. It was funny. Then a couple things that I've been watching. I started watching Sweet Tooth the other day.
Okay,
that's actually really, really good. It's a really good story. It's kind of like post apocalyptic, and you know, the world's pretty much gone to shit, and like. Humans can't really have human kids anymore. So the only thing that is pretty much being born are like hybrids. So like hybrid, you know, kids that kind of take over, you know, the half human, half something else. So like the one kid, the main kid or whatever, he's like half human, half deer. And it's pretty fucking cool because there are other little hybrids as well, but these hybrids are actually being hunted by the remaining humans that are still out there. And it's fucking crazy. It's a really good fucking story. It's a really good fucking show based on a comic book. And I'm about like four and a half episodes in. I'm like, yo, this shit is good. It's definitely worth a watch.
How many episodes is it?
I believe it's 8 episodes. I could be wrong. But yeah, it's a really, really good show. It's definitely worth watching. It's on the Netflix. Then this week I also watched it's not really a documentary, but it's a concert show or whatever with Juan Luis Guerra that came out on fucking on HBO Max. And that's something that, you know, it kind of holds a place in my heart, because that's music that like my parents used to listen to when I was fucking younger. And it's a concert basically with him and a band, of course, and they're all out on DR. And it's the music that, you know, makes me feel good makes me remember my youth. It was cool. It was fun. It was a real, real fun little show. It's about an hour, 45 minutes or so.
Okay.
Yeah, like a whole concert, basically. And it's really cool. It's really fun. It's definitely something to check out, especially, like, this dude's been doing music for, like, 40-plus years or whatever. Like, before I was fucking around. And he's still doing his shit now. It's fucking great. He went, of course, he's saying, like, you know, the merengue and the bachata and shit like that. But he also, like, after a few years, he basically went all religious and shit and started doing a lot of, you know, hymns and, you know, religious musics and stuff. But still with that same, you know, party flow. And a lot of it actually is pretty decent. It's not like, you know, oh my God, super religious stuff that doesn't make any sense. But it's actually fun music. Like, I enjoyed it. And I'm glad that HBO put it up.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And then another thing that I watched on HBO, something that, you know, a lot of people got really upset about. And it's In the Heights on HBO Max as well. And that was basically a cinematic adaptation of Lin-Manuel Miranda's Broadway musical. And I enjoyed the fuck out of it. I love the shit out of it. Like, it was really fucking good. It made me feel like I was back home. And it's not like I want to go back, but it made me feel like, you know, it was technically like a real New York story. Like, it's something that you want to see when you're thinking about, okay, yeah, this is what the New York life is and what the New York life is all about. And it's all about following a dream and, you know, trying to, you know, do better for yourself and make things better, especially like when you're in that type of community. You know, everybody's around doing the same thing, trying to live that hustle. And that's what the show is pretty much about. And it's fucking good. It's really good. But then you see people on the internet complaining. Like, one thing that just kind of like threw me off. I was like, why would these people be complaining about this one thing? And that's the fact that, like, there weren't enough Afro-Latinos in this fucking thing. I'm like, this is the stupidest fucking thing to fucking complain about at a fucking movie. Especially if, like, the people that are complaining about it aren't people that would even fucking go for the fucking role.
I'm not a fan of any of that stuff, but I kind of saw the controversy. And, it's really, I'm not even going to touch that shit because I don't want to apologize like Rita Moreno. I don't think anybody should apologize for whatever they mean. I don't understand what these people want. And me and you are Hispanic. So, like, I mean, I love the fact that the movie came out. Regardless of my personal issues about it, like, I just can't stand Lin Moran, whatever. And I don't like musicals. I'm not into that shit. But
that's fair.
The whole thing started with one fucking interview from the fucking website called The Root, which is a Gizmodo Gawker site. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, fuck this.
It's like clickbait.
Made up controversy. It's a clickbait controversy. And it actually, yeah, like, blew up, like, hard. Yeah. And it's not even framed in, like, oh, like, this is why people didn't go see it or whatever. They're just like, wow, this movie sucks because there's not enough black people in it. It's a really, really controversial subject when it comes to Hispanic people who fucking, you know, have to deal with that shit every day. as opposed to some people like The Root, who are literally in business just to fucking make and report on controversy. Like, that website is really bad for race relations. Like, it's really fucking bad. Like, it's like, I can't even think of a white version of it, because, like, I don't think there is. I mean, there might, but I'm not an asshole, so I wouldn't know. But, like, it's weird. Like, where, like, a lot of shit, they pop up, it's like, you know, it makes you roll your eyes when you look at it. Some of the stuff they bring up, they're right about, but, like, a lot of it is, like, what the fuck y'all talking about?
It's, like, kind of like Gawker was a few years ago.
It is. It's a Gawker site, you know? It is what it is. I'm shocked that, like, I actually saw the interview that started this whole mess. It's on The Root, and like, I just, like I said, I'm interested in this type of controversy, because I think it's fucked up, and I think it's like they're looking at the wrong things. So, like, the interview, like, the guy, it was John Cho, who I thought was fucking Harold from Harold and Kumar, but I guess it was another guy, a producer or something in it. Like, he's like a director or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I saw the interview with him, and, like, they had to make this guy who's not even fucking Hispanic or Black defend this movie, and I'm like, yo, that's fucked up. Like, I'll send you the link for the video later after he's finished, but, like, the interview's fucked up. It's like they totally ambushed him. But at the same time, like, if you're Puerto Rican, if you're of Caribbean descent, which is Puerto Rico, Cuba, the vacation islands that we own, Cuba, Puerto Rico, DR, HR, I mean, Haiti, if you're Black and you're from that kind of, like, background, you have Black in you, no matter what, no matter how you look, no matter how fucking white Puerto Rican ass look, no matter how white your Dominican ass look, you have Black blood in you, right? If you're from Central or South America, you'll have a lot more like European in you, but we still have Black people in our blood, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
And a lot of Hispanics, the only way I could remember it was the way I was, because the words we used back then were a little harsher, but there's a lot of self-hating Hispanics who don't want to, like, acknowledge that, and then there's people who don't know it at all, and they're like, okay, so, like, yeah, like, guess what, the people you saw in the Heights, they're Black, they might not say it, they might not look like it to you, but they're Black, we have Black blood in us, you know, and it's like, it's a really sticky subject, and, like, people don't want to talk about it. And then I'm like, yo, like, it is what it is, and it's a historical fact. And these people kind of, like, you know, they don't want to admit it, or they kind of look at it a different way. And like, some people like to use the word Latinx, which is fucking stupid, which isn't even, like, a real word.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And I'm just like, yo, like, because as soon as the lady in the video, in the interview on him, is like, as soon as she said Latinx, I was like, nope, don't answer, motherfucker. Just, like, stop the interview. Don't answer. Stop. You're walking into the trap. Red flag.
It's a trap. It's a trap.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. No, I'm like, dude, no.
Yeah.
I'm gonna send you the link to that video, because I totally forgot about it until you brought it up.
Yeah.
I don't like Lin-Manuel Miranda for personal reasons, and I have him. I've ranted enough about his bullshit.
Oh yeah. All right? Completely.
But in this case, like, he's not. He didn't do anything wrong. And it's his story to tell, and he can put whoever the fuck he wants in it.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of, like, the other thing about it is, like, there is stuff that has, like, Afro, like, they said it, the Afro Latin, whatever, but it's, like I said, like, you know, Caribbean, other shit. They had the, again, it's a movie I didn't see, but I heard it was really good. Vampires versus the Bronx. The other shit that came out on Hulu and Netflix. No one's watching those or talking about them. Yeah. But you know, they put the spotlight on Lin-Manuel, and I'm like, yo, as much as I don't like Lin-Manuel, he's done a lot for Hispanics in the last 10 years through this bullshit. But he's done a lot more than anybody in the fucking Root has done for anything. So it's just really fucked up. And again, this is a movie that I don't even like, and I haven't seen, and I'm not going to see it, but I'll defend it, and I'll defend him, because I think it's fucked up. But, like, yeah, like, if you guys want to check it out, the interview and everything, just Google the shit that they were talking about. But it's on The Root. It's on the main page of The Root. It's been on there for a while.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard The Root and Latinx, I was like, oh, like, I rolled my eyes. I was like, fuck these people. It's bullshit. Just, you know, watch the movie and leave it there as it is. But what was fucked up was, like, they framed it as, like, one of the reasons why I failed was because of that. And I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, because no matter what, y'all, people who are going to watch it are going to watch it regardless. I think the reason why it didn't make any money at the box office is because, one, it's musical, and two, it's a Hispanic musical, and three, it's a very New York story.
Yeah, it's a super New York story. It's a Hispanic New York. It's a New York Hispanic fucking musical. Like, there's no other way around it. It's not like it's not like Hamilton that was, you know, like, it was a musical.
White people will be interested in it. Yeah,
right. Yeah, nobody gives a fuck about Hispanics and shit. Honestly, I mean, even now, like, they really don't care. Like, it's not something that they know. It's the people, right. And, like, granted, like, you know, even a lot of Hispanics don't really give a fuck about it because, of course, they don't care about fucking musicals. Granted, they go along the same type of music that we would listen to on a regular, you know, normal people and shit. But they still don't like fucking musicals. A lot of people don't like musicals.
The word is niche.
Yeah,
it's a niche product. That no matter what, I think putting it in the theaters was a mistake. I think they should have just done the HBO thing and not really bother with the theaters. Because these movies, unless it's a fucking ABBA movie with a lot of white blonde people, no one goes to see the ship. Or Hamilton. Hamilton is the other magical fucking movie that comes along in 100 years, like Rent was in the 80s. Like,
yeah,
it's just something about it that makes people want to go see musicals. But ordinarily, people don't go see these fucking movies.
Yeah, that's just how it works. The thing about the play when it came out, it actually got like a bunch of Tonys and awards for it too. That's why they were kind of pushing. Oh yeah, this is gonna be a huge fucking movie in coming to theaters and, you know, the HBO Max and all that stuff. But they weren't expecting the fact that, like, yo, people don't really give a fuck about that shit anymore. And that's the bullshit.
And the other thing about that kind of stuff, I mean, I like. This is so weird for me to say, 'cause it's like, I don't like this shit, but at the same time, I understand where it comes from. It's like going to the theater is prohibitively expensive, especially for people who are black and Hispanic. And it's in the inner city. It's fucking expensive. Like, it's at least $100 to go to see one to get two seats. The least you're talking about is between $80 and $100 to get in, just to get in, not even to fucking eat or anything. That's just to get in. They're not cheap. And it's like, I think most people who there's a lot of people who never go see these productions and shows in a theater in a Broadway, you know, musical theater. They get to see the movie, and I like that. I think that's awesome. I just wish the subject matter was better, but, like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
What pissed me off though and got me, like, interested into it, because I heard about this from you. Rita Moreno was like, you can't make everybody happy, right? You can't. I didn't read the whole thing. I just saw the tweet, but I didn't see the whole statement or whatever. But she tried to, like, defend this dude, and people fucking jumped on her. And that pissed me off, because I'm like, yo, like, who the fuck are you fucking idiots and assholes to say anything to her who literally put Hispanics on the map in this country? In the 50s? I mean, she's been acting since the 40s. Like,
She won fucking awards for that shit too.
Yeah, and I'm like, yo, like, and people had them, and people who only have a Twitter handle or just a fucking podcast had the fucking nerve to fucking call her out and be like, you know, fuck you, what do you know? Oh, you didn't do shit. This other person did more than you. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, she had to apologize. And I'm like, yo, like, you didn't do or say anything wrong. I'm like, yo, like, what is with this fucking bullshit generation in society now? And it's like, yo, like, you are nothing. Just because you have a Twitter handle and an internet connection doesn't mean shit. Like, these people pay dues. Like, Rita Moreno was, like, sexually harassed, like, most of her career. Like, just to get on stage, and you motherfuckers have the nerve to fuck with her, man? Get the fuck out of here. I was like, ugh. I mean, nobody listens to us, so we can. You know, I'm not gonna apologize to nobody. Like, fuck yeah. Like,
we have no reason. So the thing is, like, people don't understand that, like, having an opinion doesn't mean that you have to apologize about it, because everybody has an opinion, whether you like it or not, and that's just the way it is. Like, you don't have to apologize for your own fucking opinion, as long as you're not fucking being completely irreverent about things. you know, you understand, you listen to other people's opinions and you just fucking deal with it. You know, it's not about fucking having to apologize because they your opinions are totally different than another person's. Fuck out of here.
No, I know, but I'm just like joking around about it. Like, I wouldn't apologize for anything. I'm like, fuck you. Like, I'll say it to your face. Like, I'm not a keyboard killer, man. Like, that's another thing about us. You too. Like, if I say something in any way, shape, or form, I will say it to your face. Oh, yeah. Like it just, that's just the way it is, man. But like, yeah, like, people take things very personally, which I get, but it's just
especially because, nowadays, especially but nowadays, like, they take it too fucking personal.
But just because you can, like, just because social media pretends to bring you closer to the person, you're not, and you're just part of that illusion because you think you can actually talk to these people just because they fucking at you. And I'm like, no, you can't. Like, so fucking stupid.
Yeah,
that's like some like fanfic writer. That's like, yeah, like a fanfic writer talking shit to Stephen King just because he like was able to write a fucking fanfic story. Fuck out of here! Like, that's not how it works. Like,
yeah, no, that's not how it works at all. And that's the funny shit. Like nowadays, like everybody being that they do have, you know, that one stop connection. Like, oh yeah, you just go on Twitter, you can just add the person, and be like, oh listen, I didn't like this for this reason. I'm like, that's not the point of this whole thing. The whole point of it is to actually be able to communicate with them and actually not say like, oh yeah, your shit was garbage, because they put in a lot of work for it. Like, they don't want to hear that it's shit, because of course, you know, they have their own fucking feelings about it at the same time too. They could feel like it's fucking amazing, but then, you know, you have like 18,000 other people calling me and shitting on you. Like, okay, yeah, I feel like shit now. That's how fucking a lot of people end up fucking committing suicide and shit.
That's a whole other thing too. Like, I was watching some like Japanese stuff because we were talking about wrestling so much, and I've been watching all those lists, and I was looking at the whole story about that girl that killed herself. There's a lot. It's like, that should never have happened. Like, she was a successful, successful fucking Japanese wrestler with a really, really huge future. And just get some fucking, like, yeah, man. I was like, yeah, such a waste, such a shame. She was really good.
Yeah, she was. She was really good. And then it's sad that it went that way. And it's just been, it's been literally like about a year or so since that happened too. So it's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, man, like the whole in the ice thing, man. I was like, really? Like, I knew something was going to pop up, but I didn't think it was going to be that stupid. Like, really? Like, you guys really, really? Really, that's what you want to fucking, all right, whatever.
Yep.
But it's all because of the root, man. Like, what? When I send you that video, you know what I mean. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh, I felt so bad for the guy.
Yeah,
so bad for the guy.
Sad, especially when like you don't expect them to fucking start throwing shit at you like that. Like, it's you expect it to be, you know, a regular interview, but then you got fucking douchebags just shitting on you in every single way.
There was something else you saw that, like, I wanted to talk about. Fuck. You saw Willy's Wonderland.
Yes. Yes.
That's the one you're talking about. Yeah. That's Willy's Wonderland. Yeah. Yes,
That shit is fucking dope, yo. Willy's Wonderland. It basically stars Nick Cage, and it's one of his best roles. Unfortunately, he is, well, in a way, it's a reason. It's a good reason as to why he's. It's so good because of the fact that he doesn't say anything throughout the entire movie. it's just all on, like, you know, he's just the silent strong type, I guess you can say. It's fucking good. Like, it basically starts out with him, if you know, like, Five Nights at Freddy's pretty much follows that same type of story, as far as, like, you know, all the animatronics have pretty much. For this story, for some reason, these animatronics are basically possessed. They've been basically like gone through, you know, some rituals or whatever, and they,
some guy possessed it or some shit. They sacrificed.
It was a bunch of the kids that used to work there. They pretty much, and you know, did like a seance or whatever, and had their spirits actually intertwined with these, you know, things or whatever.
It was a serial killer thing, right? And yeah, like, yeah, serial killer and his crew of like serial killer buddies, and they do some ritual and they get like their spirits going to the animatronics at a restaurant, and it's been cursed. Like, it's been going on for a while.
Yeah, so like, they wind up fucking like closing down the restaurant, and then the owner's like, yeah, I'm just gonna have this place as, you know, a place to sacrifice kids or whatever, or sacrifice people, so that way you can feed off of these things. And it's fucking crazy. It's a crazy fucking story. And it just gets nuts. It's just a nuts fucking movie in general.
Yeah, it's like the latest person that they picked up to like trap to do this is Nick Cage. Is Nick Cage's character. And yeah, it's hijinks ensue. It's actually really funny. Yeah. But I was just glad you got to see it and check it out. It's on Hulu. I think as of like this month it's been on, it's on Hulu.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Like it's definitely worth a watch. Like I've told a couple people in the villains or whatever, I told them about it and they were like, "The fuck did I just watch?" I'm like, "Yeah,
it's really good.
It's fucking good. It's a really, really good watch. Like it's a fun movie. Don't expect like, you know, it's gonna be all happy and you know, no, it's far from happy. And it's one of those things like, oh, it's a B-rated movie that actually, you know, actually packs
stop
a punch.
Saying B-rated, it's just B-movie. Don't
okay,
say B-rated.
Sorry. B-movie. Sorry. Yeah, but it's good. It's definitely a dope flick. It's definitely check it out.
Supposedly, like when I was reading up and doing research afterwards, they might be doing a sequel with the chick and him.
Okay. So I can see that happening. But I don't see where it would come from, because you know they technically like killed everything there. Spoilers.
Probably go to an amusement park or something. I don't know. But like when I was reading it up, they were like, yeah, they want to maybe do a sequel with them because it was really fun making the movie.
Yeah, that would be dope. That would be really fucking cool.
That movie had me cracking the fuck up.
Yeah. It was great. That one scene, I guess spoiling it, like when he curb stomps the fucking gorilla or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, is the Banana Splits movie on Hulu still, or?
It should be. I haven't checked that recently, too. But yeah, that's another fun one. It actually has really fun deaths, actually. Yeah, she definitely checked that one out. That was fun, too. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for the week, though. So yeah, check out In the Heights. Check out Willy's Wonderland. And it's time to get in some Zeke shit, because we've been going on for about 40 minutes. So yeah, let's do some geek shits for this week. Hasn't really been a lot, but it's actually been a good amount of stuff that we've seen so far. And I think one of the biggest things that we can talk about, I'm a big fan of Batman. Big fan of the Harley Quinn series that's been on fucking HBO Max now. This is on HBO Max. Was on DC Universe before. But they're working on season 3 for Harley Quinn. And there's this one scene that the creators or producers basically came out saying for season 3 that was supposed to be coming on season 3. It was a scene that we know that Batman and Catwoman have a relationship in the comics. And they pretty much were like, yeah, we can't have Batman going down on Catwoman. Because heroes don't do those things. This is a direct quote from DC themselves. They were like, yeah, this, heroes don't do that. And it's kind of like a moronic type thing, because of course, you know, heroes, you know, they have relationships, they do stuff, they have sex with people and they do the things that they do, because of course, you know, they're heroes, and heroes, you know, they get around. But it's just weird that in the comic, in this, they're saying, oh yeah, they can't have that, because of course, you know, it's one of those things that they were like, yeah, like we want to sell toys too, but yet the show is for adults. It's not for children.
The whole argument is really stupid. Like, it's really, really dumb, man. Like, when you think about it in every way, shape, or form, like, I mean, come on, think about it. They had Killing Joke, the adaptation of Killing Joke had a sex scene between Batman and Batgirl. And, like, isn't she supposed to be like a teenager or 18, 19? Like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
So the other thing is, like, the people who watch this who are going to be buying toys are adults. Like, the show's a mature rated show. Like, it shouldn't be. If kids shouldn't be watching this. So like the whole every argument that they brought up for this is really stupid. And like the article that brought it up was talking about how like the TV shows now that are coming out for the superhero genre now are very more adult oriented shows, right?
Yeah,
because they mentioned Umbrella Academy, which I refuse to watch, but they did talk about Doom Patrol. And what was the other one? Titans and Doom Patrol, Titans and you know, Harley Quinn. And like, I think it's just really, really stupid that they actually had a fucking, like, you know, they had a real problem with this. I'm like, wow, what the fuck? Instead of,
and
like,
it's funny because all these shows are basically shows that are pretty much that came out originally for HBO.
Yeah, like, I don't, like, it's just really dumb. I hope that they like really changed their mind and like fucking, you know, redid the story and we get to see it the way it's supposed to be, or like, you know, they leak it out online or something. Cause like, yeah, right. It's really stupid that they're actually making a big deal out of this. On top of that, their product sucks, like for real. So the shows are actually doing really good stuff for DC Comics. They should just shut up and leave it alone. There's no reason why editorial should have any say in anything when it comes to the shows, because the shows are doing good. And it's for adults. Mm-hmm. Like, those shows are awesome. Like, the Harley Quinn show, I've never seen it if you hadn't told me to check it out. And I fell in love with that shit because it's so good. I actually did a rewatch last weekend for the first season. Yeah, man, I it's so fucking stupid, man.
Yeah. And funny thing is that, like, just today, Scott Snyder tweeted out something that was pretty fucking hilarious.
Zack Snyder.
Yeah, Zack Snyder, not Scott Snyder. Scott Snyder.
People were trying to figure out who drew it because it looks like really like professionally done.
Yeah,
it's a really funny picture. Really funny picture.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious because it looks like something that came out of fucking like the Mark Millar stuff, the fucking the Dark Knight stuff.
Yeah, it's people were trying to figure out who drew it. Because you can't do, like, you know, reverse image, whatever. Like, they couldn't figure out. They're trying to figure out who's drew it, but I just think it's funny. Yeah, man. Like, it's Batman. Yeah, fucking kills me. Like, the shit that they fucking complain about or find a reason to bitch about. Like, Batman going down on somebody. It's a man going down on a woman is something that, you know, it's just something natural. It's just part of sex. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that serious, people. Like, get the fuck over it, you guys. It's not.
No, I mean, you saw the reaction to it. I think the reaction to it was awesome. I think, like, all the jokes and everything that we saw was, like, really funny. And then people, you know, people get it. Like, we understand. I love that show. I really, really hope they don't fuck with it too much. I'm actually really excited for season 3.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for it, too. Like, I can't wait to see it. I really hope that they fucking, like, you know, get some shit kind of, you know, to figure that shit out.
And that show is really fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, we watched
the and it's exactly that. It's fucking dark as shit. Like, it's not meant for kids.
And it's like they actually really talk about like the psychology of the Joker Harley Quinn relationship, which is like not a good relationship and never was. So that's like something that I really, really, really like about the show, because that was kind of why I didn't want to watch it, because like everything up until like Injustice and the whatever DC thing it's called now. Harley Quinn's really different in the comics now than she used to be. And it kind of, like, the way she is in the show is kind of like the way they're trying to have her in the DC Comics universe. So, yeah, it was cool that, like, you know, they had a show where she talks about how, you know, being in a relationship, an abusive relationship with someone like Joker is not good and not healthy. Like, the whole first season is about her breaking out with Joker.
Yeah.
And it's a really good fucking show, but, like, yeah, I definitely love that show. Like I said, I just think it's really dumb that this is what they fucking decide to go after.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. It's fucking, like, it's the dumbest thing ever.
But it's hilarious, like, the whole reaction to everything and the fact that most people were like, you know, this is really dumb. Like, this should never have been a controversy. Like, duh.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been a controversy at all. Like, this shouldn't be a thing. It shouldn't be a fucking huge thing about it. Like, they do so much more shit on the fucking show. It's just way worse.
That's worse. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's whatever. We'll see. We'll see what they do. We'll see if all this was just a ploy for them to actually still wind up doing it on the show anyway.
Yeah.
To bring more ratings for the show. And of course, ratings are a thing still. And then another thing that came out this week, something that was pretty fucking cool. This week was E3. And there wasn't really much that came out. There's a lot of stuff that came out for it.
I didn't prepare, but like I'll talk about
it. No, that's fair. That's fair. the one thing that came out that, you know, stood out for both of us was the new Guardians of the Galaxy video game.
Yeah,
and that shit looks fucking really good.
Yeah, Square Enix kept it on the wraps for a while.
Yeah. For a long time. I didn't know they were gonna do this shit like that.
Hey, nobody knew. It's a third person action game with the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's supposed to be a really good kind of story. Dan Abnett, who worked on the comic book, worked on it. So Dan Abnett's version of the Guardians of the Galaxy is what we saw in the first movie. Like, that's part of why it's so good, is because of that comic book, and Dan Abnett had a big part in that. And he wrote the story for the game. Yeah, it looks fucking great. It's supposed to be for PS4 and Xbox One, but the versions for the next generation consoles look really good. I don't think you play as anybody else except for Star-Lord, but it's got the rest of the Guardians. They don't look exactly like the video games can't have them look like they look in the movies, so mm-hmm. They look a little different. They look more like the comic book versions.
Right.
But from what I saw in the trailer and all this stuff, it looks really good. The game's almost done, like, so it's, you know, just ready to go. It just has to wait to a release date. So yeah, it looks great. The stuff that they show is really good. Yeah, it looks really good. The other stuff that I saw from E3 that was good, the Breath of the Wild 2 for the Switch. They talked about the Twilight Princess stuff that's coming out, the remake. Okay. What was the other one? There was stuff that we thought we were gonna see more of that they announced last year, like the Suicide Squad game, the new Batman game. They didn't show any of that stuff, Nintendo had a really good show. But again, like stuff that we thought, like this E3 was like, we were surprised by certain games, but like the big stuff that we're expecting, we didn't see. Like the new version of the Switch Pro is supposed to be coming out either this year or next year. The new God of War that they didn't really show. Just like the really big games that we're supposed to see, like the new Star Wars games that are supposed to be coming out. None of it. It was just like a lot of surprise announcements and stuff that we were kind of like, whoa, okay, cool. But like the stuff that we really wanted to see, we didn't get to see this year. So it was a really weird, really different E3. But like the big ones, yeah, I think like the big, they did show some other stuff. Like they showed more Back for Blood, the Left 4 Dead inspired game from the people who did Left 4 Dead. Actually, I found out that I'm going to get the beta for that in August. And I didn't fucking realize I signed up for it. So I don't know how I got in. But yeah, I'm supposed to get the beta for that. That game's supposed to be cool. It's supposed to be Left 4 Dead with aliens. So I'll be checking that out in August. Damn, man, I really hate when I'm not prepared for something. But yeah, like E3 was pretty cool because I saw like most of it. But like other than like the stuff I talked about before E3, like the Warhammer game and the other stuff that I mentioned, there wasn't really that big surprises. Like, yeah, like the stuff that's coming out that we knew was coming out, they didn't really show anything. They just showed like random stuff. But yeah, like one of the big surprises was Guardians of the Galaxy. And yeah.
Nice. Hell yeah. I'm excited to see what they're gonna work what else they're gonna come out with, because of course, you know, like even though I haven't really been playing video games, like I do like to see what they're working on and shit like that, because of course, you know, I want to see what I could possibly eventually wind up.
Oh, the Evil Dead, the Army of Dead game, they showed a little bit. That was another.
Oh, that's cool.
That's like Left 4 Dead Army. That's like Left 4 Dead meets Evil Dead.
Nice.
I
like that.
Yeah, man. The Warhammer games look really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah, you showed the other one, yeah. That. Yeah.
Yeah, I just picked up the new one, Hired Gun. I'm going to play it, get to that after I finish Mass Effect.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Some other shit that came out this week. We got news that, of course, they are continuing with, you know, with Aquaman, and they're going to continue to do more stuff with that, with James Wan coming back for, you know, his second film or whatever, of course, in the DC Extended Universe. And we got news that there's a title for the second one. It's the title for this is going to be Aquaman the Lost Kingdom. That's interesting because, of course, you know, in the first one, he was just trying to find his way around, trying to figure out what the fuck he's doing and how the fuck he falls into the whole, you know, the Atlantis thing. So basically, how does this whole work with the Lost Kingdom? Is it basically them following, you know, trying to figure out, okay, what's going on with Atlantis, or, you know, how do you think that's going to be, how that's going to work out? Or that plan out in a way. The Lost Kingdom. How do you think that's going to pan out? What do you think?
I'm not a fan. No way. I'm not watching that shit.
Okay.
I'm not interested in this at all.
Okay.
I think that last movie was one of the worst fucking movies ever made. from beginning to end, I just can't stand Aquaman or Meathead or Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be there when he gets his star in Hollywood?
Nope.
Yeah.
I might fucking spit on it, but...
That's fair. Yeah, but I enjoyed the first one for what it was. I'm not like gonna say like, oh yeah, it was so fucking good. It was a lot of good shit. There was a decent amount of things in it that was actually pretty good, but it wasn't like the best thing ever. It wasn't like the best thing out of the, you know, the DC Extended Universe. It was fun. It was a fun watch. Out of all of those, I guess I'm gonna say it again, is that, you know, Shazam was the better one out of all the DC movies. But it's whatever. But yeah, we finally got the title for the new one. It's gonna be The Lost Kingdom, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. So I kind of want to see what they're gonna do with that. I like the director. He's pretty good. So kind of want to see what they're gonna do. James Wan. Kind of want to see what they're gonna do with this. And then another thing that came out this week, going along with, you know, the DC stuffs. It's kind of been a DC heavy type of episode, but I don't mind. We got a trailer for season 2 of Stargirl. And season 2 of Stargirl looks pretty fucking good. Super fucking excited for this season. Like, I love the first season, and I'm so excited to see what they're gonna do for the second season. A few things that we saw in the trailer, we see that there's a the daughter of a Green Lantern, it's Alan Scott's daughter, Jade. She's gonna be in this. She's the daughter of Green Lantern, and that's gonna be fucking cool because, of course, we had slight bits of Stargirl finding, you know, a Green Lantern ring in a bunch of the old JSA stuffs from back in the day that she had gotten from, you know, from her stepdad or whatever. But then we also get little glimpses of, you know, Eclipso, who's going to be one of the villains in it, and Shade is going to be coming back. We only got a glimpse of Shade previously in season 1, but he's going to be another big part of, you know, season 2, possibly a good guy, possibly a bad guy, we don't really know. And then one thing that we didn't see in the first season was Thunderbolt, who was basically, you know, was basically came out of, you know, the pink pen that we saw in the first season, that they were wondering, oh, okay, how does this fucking work out or whatever? How does this whole thing work and what the fuck is going on with it? Because, of course, you know, trying to figure out where all the JSA members could possibly be or how they all work and stuff. But yeah, it looks fucking cool. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with season 2 of Stargirl. That comes out in a couple months, in August. August 7th. Yeah.
I gotta finish the first season, but what I saw, I think I got like halfway through first season.
Yeah.
What I saw was really, really good. And the preview, the trailer thing looks good too. Season 2 looks great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm super fucking excited for season two. Like, I'm like, I fucking love the first season. I'm like, eek, I want to see more. So good.
No, so it's a really good show.
Yeah. Speaking of another good show, we got another. We got the first trailer for season three of Titans, and that's, my friends, looks fucking great.
Is Joker in season two?
No.
Okay, because yeah, I went back last night to start season two because I got to catch up.
Yeah,
I never finished season two. That one looks really fucking good. That trailer, like, it's really cool. I mean, I guess they're gonna do Death in the Family.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Because you also see Jason Todd basically coming back and, well, going and turning into the Red Hood.
Yeah, the Red Hood helmet looked fucking badass. Like, that looks really good.
Yeah, we kind of saw this coming in. If you watch, you know, you see his progression in season one to season two. You see his progression as he's trying to stray away from actually being a hero in a way of being kind of like more of a vigilante, more of a, I can do whatever the fuck I want because I technically can do whatever the fuck I want whenever the fuck I feel like it. But it looks fucking good. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with season. Like, I don't know. I don't know what else they can possibly do with it and make it so fucking amazing. Because it's good shit. All around.
Yeah, season one is awesome. Season two, what I saw, is really good. I think the last episode of season two I saw was the one where Superboy comes out and saves.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really good. Really, really good. What's fucked up is the trailer's kind of like spoilery, but it's a good trailer for the season.
Yeah.
I was just like, but the Red Hood costume, like, I can't wait to see the whole thing. Looks really good.
It looks really good, especially when you know that it is a Batman type story and they don't necessarily have and need really Batman to actually make it work.
Yeah.
Because of it has pretty much the entire Bat family in a way. Because technically in this season, they're supposed to also have Batgirl in it as well.
Yeah. I saw that too. Yeah, like they did what the comic book did, like the original comic book did in the 80s. Like they made their own, like they cut their own part of the DC universe. And these were all characters that were sidekicks. And then, you know, they made their own way without the sidekicks. And it's a really, really cool story. Really good show.
Yeah.
I know they don't really do it, but like, I really wish that like they would sync up the movies with the stuff. Cause like, yeah, like it's good. Like, I watching season two, I was like, wow, this is really, really good.
Yep. It's really good. Actually, I was talking to Brian earlier in the week and he was basically telling me that, he just started watching he pretty much ran through the first season in like a day and a half. And he was like, yeah, that shit is fucking amazing. It's really fucking good. It's definitely a must watch. Like,
yeah, I'm gonna put it on later when I do my workout.
Yeah, it's definitely a must watch. So the guys go check out Titans and be ready for season three, which will be coming out in another couple weeks. That's gonna be fun. It's gonna be amazing. And then basically, I guess that wraps it up for this regular week's geek shit. So check out InterstateGeeks.net if you're not going to be around. But if you're not going to be around for the spoilery part of the episode, because we got some more spoilers to come, because we spoiled some things before, but we still always have more spoilery shit after the outro song. And I figured I'd go with an oldie, but a goodie. I've always been a fan of Big Pun. And I figured, why not talk about Big Pun? Why not play some Big Pun? Because Big Pun is amazing. Going with It's So Hard by Big Pun. I know he's had better songs, but this is a fucking great one. So check it out. And we'll be right back.
That's right, baby. Now it's going down. Funk Master flex up in here. Get ready for the exclusive Big Pun joint. We're going to simulcast this all over the globe at the same time. That's right. So my head's out in New York, Cali, Miami, Baltimore, Puerto Rico. If you're overseas, whatever you're doing, you know what I mean? Big Pun, It's So Hard. You know what I mean? We love you.
You can catch me in the cherry red 150. Ooh. Got the grizzly locked in the stizzy. Pop the glizzy doing 60 down a one whizzy. Drunk pissy. Trying to cruise through the avenue while my people just popping bottles up as soon as my neighbors. That spun the UE, lost the hubcap, was back to the shack. Came back in a what's that? Take some Paris, take a Debbie's baby, baby cabbage, cherry yellows.
Nice.
Bird, cherry radish, fresh out the dealer. Got the whoop for the squealers, wear a vest for the killers. Nothing that's cause it's realer in the Big Apple. Where it's quick to get the shit tackled. Enemies spit at your best friends, kidnap and trust no one. Got beef buzz, yo, yeah. You don't need no one.
Nope.
Talking about that you owe him, I'ma go for Dolo. Scarface with a Manolo, when beef Bobby solo.
It's hard work, baby. I just lost 100 pounds. I'm trying to live. I ain't going nowhere.
Like
I'm staying alive,
but
baby.
Don't bust things once, and it's so hard.
That's my wife. I pay for the. Get your own, dog, you heard?
Just want to crush my wife. Just want to take my life. It's so hard.
I'm with the squad. We like guards. Got just at the bar, the bar, the bar. The strip bars in Miami. Almost came home with the Grammy. Next year, bring it home three for the family. Watch me, you can catch it live on Hitachi. Popping sh** like a Nazi. Iced out like DiBiase. That Liberace, 4X Versace. Somebody stop me, never that. Come on, do that. Uptown, uptown. You know you're feeling that cash room. Hardcore, you can dance to. That old biggie, give me
one more chance.
Take a glance and I'm off with yours. With both hands and roll for drawers and be like the Source Awards. I love hip hop. I ain't even probably the best there is alive. Tell us what, down sleeping.
What you say your name was again? And I know you from where? Elementary school.
Just wanna be like
I don't know you,
but
man.
Don't once, and it's so hard.
Money, not you again. Go that way.
Just wanna crush my wife.
Loser.
Just wanna take my life. But it's so hard. Ooh, yeah. You ain't my wife. Taking my life. And if you just hating, just walk on by. All you haters, just walk on by. To me and Big Bum, Big
Now, we're going into the spoilery part of the episode. Spoiler heavies for the first two episodes of Loki, which have been pretty fucking fantastic.
Yeah. I must
say. For those that don't know, Loki is pretty much on his own because, of course, you know, technically, if you've seen pretty much the most of the Marvel stuff, you see that, you know, he passed in as far as in Endgame, and then he came back when they were trying to go back in time to, you know, get all the Infinity Stones, and he gets a hold of the Tesseract, and he disappears, and he basically pops up in the middle of fucking Mongolia, and he's then picked up by a bunch of fucking people from the TVA.
The Time Variance Authority.
Yeah. And then all craziness ensues. Because of course, you know, they gotta fix the timelines and make sure everything falls into what what do they call the time people's what are they
called? Time Variance Authority.
No. The
fucking, oh, Minutemen.
No, not the Minutemen. The fucking the three overseers. What are they called?
Oh, timekeepers.
Yeah, the timekeepers or whatever. they gotta make sure that everything stays along the lines for the timekeepers actually to make things work for them. And keeping the straight line in within, you know, and not having things fall out of place with, you know, what the timeline's supposed to be like. And I'm fucking all in on this show. Like, this show is fucking great so far. Like, everything about it is pretty fucking insane. I love it. I love the timey-wimey shit. Like, I'm a huge fan of Doctor Who and the fact that they're doing... Technically, you can say it's like another episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
It's fucking great. They go back in time. They go forward in time. They wind up in different places that, you know, you wouldn't expect. Like the first, what is the second episode when they wind up going into fucking
Pompeii.
Yeah, they wind up going to Pompeii. Like, what the fuck? Like, just before Vesuvius explodes and shit.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane. It's fucking nuts. Just like, well, that happens in Doctor Who as well. Like, there was one episode that they did the same thing. But the thing is the fact that, you know, they're trying to figure out where all these Loki variants are going everywhere. Because there's a Loki variant that's pretty much trying to, you know, fuck with time and, you know, get things to favor Loki, in a way.
Yeah. The show's really good. Like, first two episodes are out. It's going to be out on Wednesday, so, like, literally the day after you listen to this, the next episode will be out. It's a really good look at a character that I personally wasn't really a fan of until pretty recently. Mm-hmm. I think until, like, Thor Ragnarok.
Yep.
I'm not one of those people that, like, I didn't like I don't like pretty boy villains. Like, you know, I like ugly bad guys like Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
Thanos, right? I don't like the pretty motherfuckers. But this show's really good. Like, it shows a really different side of Loki. I mean, we see the old kind of, I mean, they say it a lot in the first episode, the mischievous scamp version of Loki. But yeah, like, the show kind of like goes, the first episode's kind of like, he gets caught after he steals the Infinity Stone. The what is it?
The Tesseract.
Tesseract. I always call it the Cosmic Cube because of the comic book.
Same thing, yeah.
But he gets caught after he steals the Cosmic Cube and tries to escape into wherever he can escape to. And they catch him. And this has never happened to him before, or at least not this Loki. And he's like, what the fuck? Just like we are. And it's a really cool introduction to what's going on. Basically, there's this huge bureaucracy behind the scenes of everything that happens in the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. And in the comics too, I didn't read the Cosmic comics that much, but they're from Thor, like Thor, I think 378 or 37 something. They actually show the issue number in the episode.
Oh, nice.
As an Easter egg, but they're basically a bureaucracy, like time cops, who make sure that when time travel shenanigans happen, that they're supposed to happen. Like, they keep an eye on the timeline. Like what happened in Avengers Endgame and Infinity War, that stuff was meant to happen. Mm-hmm. So they didn't interfere in that. But Loki picking up an extra Infinity Stone outside of the timeline was not part of what was supposed to happen. It's kind of like what the Ancient One says to Bruce Banner,
mm-hmm,
on the roof. Like, once you take something out of one timeline, that timeline branches out. And the time variance is kind of like, they call it pruning, which is kind of funny because, like, that's what you're doing gardening with trees. They prune the branch of time that comes out. They do a really good job of, like, explaining the way time travel is supposed to work, as opposed to, like, how it works and everything else. Like, they do a, like, Endgame explains the Endgame time travel really well, but it doesn't make sense when you take it out of there because, like, what the fuck happened with Captain America?
Yeah.
Because they don't mention that at all, but I'm like, the Captain America thing was not supposed, couldn't have been supposed to happen. So, like, certain things that they say are cool, but then in the TV show, they're like, well, yeah, like, if it happened already, it already happened. Plus, like, the time travel thing with this Loki not being the Loki we saw in Thor Ragnarok, it's all this fucking shit. But the first episode does a really good job of explaining that, and which is really hard. I mean, me just trying to explain it, and I'm not even fucking stoned. I sound like I am. But it's a really cool look at, like, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that happens in the Marvel Universe, especially on the cosmic side, because it's like, mm-hmm, there's no, like, quote-unquote God in the comic book universes. So it's like, these are the these other people kind of working behind the scenes instead of a, you know, quote unquote God. So yeah, I mean, there's got to be other aspects of the Marvel Universe cosmic side that we're going to see at some point. But like this time, they're showing us the time people, and yeah, the first episode is really good. Second episode, I think, was even better. Yeah. In the first episode, they kind of explained that like every time there's a variant, chances are they just kill it. Like the dude that they showed in the first episode, and even Loki in the first episode is about to get killed, but Mobius saves him at the last second, and he's like, let me take him. I have a plan. Let's see if he can do what I think he can do. So at the end of the first episode, we find out that there's a variant Loki that escaped, and he's been killing everybody that works with a time variant that he can catch out in the field. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then the second episode is more... The first episode is all set up. Second episode, which I'm actually watching again now in the background, is more of like Loki's part of this story. Because
how again, he fits, like, basically.
Yeah, how this Loki in the TV show, I guess we can call it our Loki for now, because that's the one that we're gonna be seeing from now on, because the other one's dead. They're showing like our Loki's part in a bigger, way bigger picture. And it's not just that like there's no Loki running around. The other Loki running around can fuck up everything. Mm-hmm. And he does at the end of the second episode. Yeah, it's a really good look at another aspect of superhero comic book bullshit shenanigans, and so well done. I mean, I keep saying it every time they show we've had three shows now from Marvel this year, and each one's been better than the last. Like,
yep,
and each one has been different since. Yep. No wait, Scarlet Witch was last year, right? Or this year?
Well, technically they end last year, the beginning of this year.
Yeah, so. Starting with WandaVision, and then Captain America and Winter Soldier, and now Loki. Mm-hmm. Like everything, every show has been really, really good, and yep. has been like consistently really good. And each one is a different type of show. Mm-hmm. WandaVision was a completely different bonkers show. I'm trying to think of how I can explain the WandaVision show really quick, and I can't. But Captain America and Winter Soldier was like a buddy cop movie with the whole Captain America and what it means to be Captain America thing, and the whole Black experience thing of America, like all in one. And then this show is just kind of like bonkers. The timeline thing, it's really hard to get done right. And yeah, like the time travel and all those different shenanigans, it's really hard to get right, and they've gotten it right. It's really good.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
And the second episode, like the way they have Loki work out the way he fits into everything is really, really cool. It's like a detective story. Like he's actually like really taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised at what happens in the episode, though. I didn't think it would get to that level.
Yeah. Especially that you, for those that don't know about the comics, you don't know that you don't think that that's gonna wind up happening, that that they have a fucking Lady Loki. Like people don't know that. A lot of people, especially people that are like, you know, like the normies and stuff like that.
Yeah, the comics.
Yeah, like that didn't happen until within like the last 10 years or so. That's like a newer version that you don't really see much in the comics as well.
Yeah, you're right, because it was around 2005.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even.
When they did it. Yeah, it was in the 2000s.
Yay. One for Steve. Yeah, dude, it's fucking crazy the way they did that. Like, I wasn't expecting that.
Because Loki's been... you gotta remember, too, like, whichever Loki they got from whichever variant Loki is running around, I think is a Loki from like maybe the first Thor, where he's like full bad guy.
Right.
Like he's full on bad guy. And like the one, I guess because, you know, Mobius explained it to him and everybody kind of like has already given him he understands that he's not supposed to be there and he's supposed to be dead. He's expendable. Like he doesn't,
Yeah.
He doesn't belong anywhere anymore, so whatever happens, happens. And the second episode is really cool, like, where they explain, like, how he fits into this, and he figures out what's going on, because, like, I think Mobius says it at one point, to think, like, Loki, you gotta be Loki, so, yeah. And
why not bring in Loki to figure it out?
Yeah, and the comic itself, in the comics, Loki's been a teenager, he's been a fucking werewolf, he's been a woman more than once, now, at least, and, yeah. It's a really, like, complex look at a complex villain and a complex character, which it says a lot about this dude's portrayal and the way they write him, because I don't like him as a character, but, like, he's grown on me since Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, he's actually one of those standout characters, especially being a villain. Like, you don't really expect a villain to be so fucking likable.
Yeah, and it's yeah, like, he really sold me Thor Ragnarok, because I never saw, like, I didn't see the first Thor or the second Thor, so.
Okay.
I didn't know any of that shit. But, like, yeah, like, the whole, like, this Loki didn't know about how he ended up killing his mom by mistake. Like, his actions led to it. We know, but he didn't. And it's just, like, a really, really good look at different sides of him. And I can't believe, like, this, we're getting stuff this good. How do these characters, man? Like, we were waiting for shit like this since we were kids.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's something that you wouldn't expect to be coming out of fucking on regular TV at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things that you actually touched on earlier is that the fact that he's a pretty boy. And how most villains aren't pretty boys. Most of the villains are usually bald headed, you know. Or not just bald headed, but, like, bearded. You know, they're villainous looking dudes, and Loki's a complete pretty dude. Which what I kind of heard on one of the videos earlier is that basically the reason that he is so kind of, like, with the long hair stuff is the fact that he is kind of like the anti-hero in a way.
Okay.
So basically, he could actually go either bad or good at the same time. He doesn't necessarily have, you know, a rightful place in, you know, in good or bad. He's kind of, like, falls into the gray area. He does whatever the fuck it feels like benefits him in the long run. So that's kind of his whole play on things, which kind of makes sense because, of course, you know, he does whatever he feels like. If he feels it's going to make him feel better or make him do right or make him, you know, fit into things, then he'll do it that way. But if it doesn't, then he's going to be like, fuck it, I'm just going to kill everything. And which kind of makes sense for the whole thing. And then another thing that I kind of read is that one of the girls that's basically that the lady that actually just winds up talking to the Watchers by themselves or to the Timekeepers themselves, that one girl, she's technically in the comics, she actually is Kang's girlfriend or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so possibilities of Kang in this? Probably not. But the fact that it kind of brings the whole Kang thing a little bit more closer to what we have been expecting. That's pretty fucking cool to see what's going to happen with that. Because that doesn't show up until, like, about 2054 or some shit like that. But it is pretty fucking cool.
The other thing about the show that's really good is Mobius, the Luke Wilson, the Owen Wilson character.
Yes.
I always get their names wrong. It's Owen Wilson, right?
Yeah, Owen Wilson. Yeah, he's fucking good, dude. Like, I wasn't expecting him to be as good as he is in this. I mentioned on the last episode, I watched the one movie, Bliss, that he's in.
Yeah, with Hayek.
And he was pretty good in that, too. It's a little bit of more of like a, it's one of those indie movies that is supposed to be funny, but it's like a dark funny, but sometimes you don't, the comedy doesn't really hit as much.
Okay.
But he's good in it. He's good. His role is actually really good, and it makes sense for him, for his character, for the way he usually plays things out, which I enjoyed. But in this is a completely different round. Like, he went in a totally different round and totally different. He has a totally different feel, even though he talks like he usually does. It still feels like a different Owen Wilson.
He's not as annoying as he is in a lot of the shit that he does. Like, he's not like in those, in a lot of his roles, he's like always like kind of like he's like leaning on the fourth wall, but like this one is part of the show, so it's like not annoying because he knows everything because he works for the TVA, so like it's kind of like it adds to the charm of the character.
Yeah,
it's not annoying. Yeah, and you can tell it actually gives a shit about Loki. Like you actually like. I mean, I guess we'll find out later how many, like, we don't know how many, like, variants there's been. Like, we don't know how many, like, variant Lokis have come out. We don't know how many times he's tried this. We don't know how many of them got away and actually fucked around until they figure out what was going on. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, like, he's just, like, he's working with Loki kind of, like, as a partner now. It's kind of like a buddy cop thing in the second episode more than the first. And, yeah, man, like, his relationship, the way he's acting with him is cool. I never would have thought, like, this kind of character would fit in here. Like, I didn't realize it until you said it, but it's very Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It really is. That's kind of one of the things that I love about this. The fact that it is like watching another Doctor Who episode with the mystery and trying to go through time and trying to, you know, fix things so that way they don't fuck things up in the long run.
Yeah, and this is another thing. Like, I like this dude, the one who plays Loki. Like, I like him in Tom Hiddleston. I like him in every other role he's done. It's just like, I just did not like... I don't like fantasy stuff, so I never saw Thor 2. but like everything he's done, he's really good in. He did. I saw him in some movie about a country music singer called Hank Williams, I think it was.
Oh yeah, fucking
name of it. He's really good in that. He's good in Crimson Peak, the horror movie by Guillermo del Toro, and he's in a bunch of other stuff. He's in like random stuff in the 90s too. Like I was watching an HBO movie, and he's in it for like a second, and I was like, wow, okay. But yeah, like watching it again, watching the show now in the background, like, yeah, man, it's really well done. It goes without saying because they've got the power of Disney behind them, but like, yeah, like it's, yeah, man, I can't believe they actually, a show like this that I probably didn't think was going to be like this smart or this entertaining or this crazy. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing that I actually read online is actually kind of interesting. Kind of just like kind of fan theory, fan thoughts or whatever, that it isn't actually technically Lady Loki, the fact that it could actually be like Enchantress in a way.
I mean, that's...
Because you got to think about it, like, because she has more of a powers to manipulate people's thoughts and stuff like that. Kind of Loki...
Loki is the one that, I mean, in the movies, Loki's a mind controller. Like, I think... I mean, I could be wrong because I was totally fucking wrong about Agatha Harkness in WandaVision, but I don't think I don't think it's Enchantress. I think it's Lady Loki. I think it's him doing the mind control thing. Like I said, that's kind of why I said that he's like a more evil version. The one that's running around is definitely like the one that they're after, the variant Loki that they're after, Lady Loki.
It's a complete badass.
Yeah, it's a complete like villain version of a Loki.
Yeah.
So he can manipulate people. I mean, he fucking controlled Hawkeye and the Thor doctor for like the entire Avengers movie.
He
can do it. Like, it's not about that. I mean, I think people are kind of like reaching. She has to be a Lady Loki. There's kind of no point to it. I don't even think they could use Enchantress because fucking DC used her first.
Yeah.
I think it's Lady Loki finally.
Okay. Yeah, and they did also, like, one of the things that was pretty much like a huge thing online was when they go through the end credits or whatever, one of the things on Loki's file is basically saying that he's gender fluid.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes him like a male or a female. Doesn't really matter. So yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, Thor too. Like, they haven't said it officially, but Thor too.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. I like what they've been doing with the show so far. Like, it's fucking great. And like, yeah. I'm down to see what the fuck else they're gonna do for this show. Like, it's fucking good.
And the cast is really good. I apologize because I literally woke up right as we were gonna record. I'm not that prepared. The cast is really good. The guard that gives Loki most of the shit in the first episode, she's a really good actress. She's in she's the one that we were talking about from Lovecraft Country. She has a really big part in that show. And she's in a horror movie on Netflix. That I think it was called His Place or His Home or something like that. It's really good. I don't know where the lady is who's like Slayer, our Slayer. I don't know where she's from, but she's a good
Renslayer. That's
But I the other reason why I think it's just the way you look and like nothing's really gonna come out of it is because like they didn't cast anybody big. Like she's not recognizable.
True.
Oh yeah.
No, I fucking love it. Like the fact that they don't have a lot of, you know, recognizable people in it, it's fucking great too. The girl they're talking about is Juju Mabatha Raw.
Yeah, I don't want to try to fucking say her name, but yeah, she's a great actress. Like,
yeah,
I saw her in a bunch of stuff after Lovecraft Country, and I honestly don't think she's done anything bad.
No, she's like everything that's pretty much rated like, you know, 7 stars and up and stuff like that. She was in Concussion, the morning show with the TV show, the fucking ABC, the Apple Plus show, whatever.
She's no, yeah, that's Renslayer. Wumi Osaka, the one who plays Hunter B-15.
Mm-hmm.
Her, she's the one that I really like. I haven't seen the other one or anything, but yeah, His House was a movie on Netflix, a horror movie that's really good. Oh, she's in the Fantastic Beasts sequel.
Okay.
She's in Lovecraft Country. She's in Batman vs. Superman. She's the woman that testifies in the court case.
Oh yeah, yeah.
About
yeah,
the attack. In Africa? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's in it. That's her. Yeah, man, she's good.
One thing that I did enjoy about the episode so far, the episodes that we've seen so far is how they go into explaining time and shit to Loki.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Miss Minute, that's actually played by Tara Strong.
Yeah, the voice of she does a bunch of voices.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Miss Minutes.
The little clock. It's a fucking clock. It's fucking dope. It's a crazy clock. It reminds me of the fucking that little fucking the paper clip in fucking Windows and shit back in the day.
Yeah, it's alive too, because if you watch it in it's like an episode and like it's talking to Loki.
Yeah.
It's like moving around them like it actually knows what's going on. It's a pretty cool little creature.
It's fucking dope, dude. I like it. I like what they've done with that. It's cool shit, man. Like Loki's been a fucking good ass show. Like I'm super excited that it's actually come out and actually, you know, airing every single week. So I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with it for the rest of the season.
Yeah, 6 episodes.
Yeah, and then with the also the thoughts that Richard Grant is in it too.
Oh yeah, yeah. They call the Lady Loki the variant in the casting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Richard Grant's in it.
So the fact that he could actually be like the old man Loki variant would be fucking dope too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Can't really call it, right?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm trying to avoid the Marvel spoilers on Reddit, so.
Oh yeah, no, I totally feel you. Like I stay away from all that shit all the time. You know that. Yeah, but I usually watch it after the episodes come out. And see, okay, you know, what they got right or what they didn't get right.
Or I tell you, like, fucking when I wake up.
Right, exactly. but yeah, I guess that pretty much wraps it up. You got anything else to add to it?
Nah, just, you know, Loki's really good. Looking forward to a couple movies. Gunpowder Milkshake is going to be on Netflix, which I'm really happy about.
Yes.
I want to see Werewolves Within, Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. And
even though I hear that's worse than the original,
I don't care. It's got some high.
Yeah,
and it's funny. I thought the first one was stupid, but I really liked it.
Yeah, yeah, I do want to watch that as well. Like, I wasn't like looking forward to it, but I do want to see it. Just like I'm not looking forward to the new final destination, the new. Fast and the Furious.
Oh, I forgot what we fucking saw. You're gonna talk about
what?
Spiral.
Oh yeah,
Yeah, we'll talk about that next time.
Yeah, we can talk about that next time.
I knew I wanted to talk about it, and I fucking forgot. All right, yeah, we'll bring it up next time.
Yeah, we'll do it next time. But yeah, that's I guess that pretty much wraps it up for this week. So make sure you guys go to innercitygeeks.net. We got a whole bunch of system times. You got this show. We have It's Poppin'. We also have Bright2J Presents, Compass of Water Manga Time Anime World, the ICGPW Slamcast. So much shit on innercitygeeks.net. Go check all that shit out. We got links to cool places. So we got Amazon, where you get a free month of Amazon Prime. We got Soul Sick Clothing Company, got some cool clothing stuffs. Then there's beard stuff with Beard Octane. Type in ICG10 for 10% off. On Soul Sick, you can type in Inner City Geeks for 15% off over there. Then you got some CBD stuff with CBDMD. And you got some pretty cool shit on fucking Sideshow Collectibles. Go get your Sideshow Collectibles because they're fucking dope. They got a lot of cool shit on there. They got a lot of cool, you know, statues for, you know, Star Wars and Marvel shit. A lot of the Marvel shit is fucking really dope. They've been dope, dropping a lot of cool shit on there, too. So go check all that shit out. Then you can also check out our show. You can check us out on SoundCloud, on Stitcher Radio, on Google Podcasts, and on motherfucking Spotify. Check us out all on there. Then you can find us on the Facey Space, so faceyspace.com/innercitygeeks, on Instagram at innercitygeeks, on Twitter at innercitygeeks. And where can we find you, sir?
Really quick, before I forget, I want to give a shout out to a little podcast that is I'm friends on Instagram. Dude, let me try that one more time. before we go, I want to shout out a horror podcast from New York that is really cool, and they actually hooked it up because I won some contest with them, and I'm supposed to be seeing some Netflix trilogy of horror movies supposed to be coming out next month for August, whatever. Anyway, Horror Flick Chicks, one word, underscore in between the words, so it's horror underscore flick underscore chicks. Horror Flick Chicks, it's a little crew from New York City, I think a couple of them from the Bronx, and it's another different and unique take on what we like. And it's, you know, girls instead of a bunch of guys. So it's always refreshing and good. And they're a good little group and they're a good show. So definitely check them out. Horror Flick Chicks. The picture, the icon is like a little black chicken, which is kind of cute. Anyway, you can find me at DarthBX, one word, DarthBX. That's me everywhere. I don't really use Facebook. But yeah, if you're looking for me on Twitter, Instagram, and on the consoles, it's DarthBX.
Yeah, and you guys can find me at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal on the Instagram and the Twitters. And that pretty much wraps it up for this week. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for sharing with everybody. And, you know, it's fucking good. I'm glad we got another weekend. And, pretty much wraps it up. So don't be a dick, but always remember the geeks shall inherit the earth.
I'm mostly concentrating now on continuing to make history in hip hop, you know what I'm saying? Just make everybody proud of me, because I'm not just a rapper now. Now it's like, I'm in history now, so now I gotta, like, you know, uphold, you know what I mean?
A lot of pressure.
Responsibility now.